It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. We didn't get to do it last show, but we're going to do it this show. We're going to get to Rocco's riser of the week. But Grant also has a riser this week. And for Habs fans, we got our prospect of the week for the Habs. So let's waste no more time and get into it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select, from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Yes, sir. Producer Shane here is always reporting for duty with my two fantastic co-hosts, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, have we cooled down a bit? Are we good now? Are we good?
What do you mean?
We were never bad. We're just having some fun.
Yeah. Love it.
You don't have Italian or Irish blood in you, obviously. That was just a normal conversation.
Listen, if I've never had a heated debate with you, you're not really one of my good friends. So there you go.
I like that. And if anybody's confused as to why we're saying that, you should probably go watch our last show. There was a fairly interesting conversation regarding the 2018 redraft that we did there. So do yourself a favor, watch that after you watch this one. Okay, this one first. Than the other one. But we were supposed to get to Rocco's riser and Grant's riser and all that, and we didn't have time. But honestly, I think that was a good thing. You know what? Leave that stuff in that show. Do a separate show for this one. Rocco, get us started here. I don't even think you can call him a riser, but Tiija Ginla has been ripping up the WHL playoffs. So I think you got some kind words to say about him here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? And I'll explain why, but he is still a riser for me this week, despite already having been pretty high. So we got Tiija Ginla, 6 foot, 186 pounds, left winger of the Kelowna Rockets of the WHL. And yes, that is Jerome Ginla's son. He had 47 goals, 84 points, and 64 regular season games played. As of this filming, he's got another 6 goals in 4 playoff games. And they're up 3-1 in their first round series right now. In large part due to how he's played. So in this particular game you're watching, he scored 2 in this one. His speed is high-end, bordering elite. And high-end, bordering elite is how I'm going to describe a good chunk of his qualities, speed being the first one. His quickness and agility as well. Really, honestly, anything to do with his skating ability is right up there. He can fly, and he's a ton of fun to watch while he's doing it. He's got some pretty good mitts on him as well. Maybe not quite Nikita Kucherov level, but again, bordering on that elite level, very, very high end. And he can use his hands in speed, which is a massive, massive, massive asset for him, because to be able to do that while moving in full motion when you're already one of the fastest players on the ice, that's going to help him a lot at the next level. His shot, you really like that as well. He is a goal scorer through and through. It's his bread and butter. He is looking to shoot any chance he gets. And again, a very, very high-end shot. And he has 3 types of shots that I've noticed that he'll repeatedly go to if he can. He has a very, very quick snapshot. He's got a really good curl and drag wrister, and he's got an excellent one-timer. You'll see instances of him using all 3 of those in these clips here. Pretty good hockey sense. I mean, as good as you can for a winger, there's only so much you can do, but he does have a knack to get into the right spots and to sneak open and to find space in tight areas and in goal scoring areas, and his teammates know to find the puck and he finishes. But that is a skill in itself, being able to get open and sneak behind defenders, especially when you get to the next level as players become more aware. And he does it purposefully. He knows where the defense are on the ice, and he knows when their eyes are looking away from him, and that's when he'll pause or take a step back or change direction or open himself up in a different way to create a lane. So you really like that, because if he's going to be able to get open at the next level, guys will find him, and his shot's going to go in the back of the net in bunches. I think he has a physical game. I call it a little bit new age physicality. He's not like his dad was, in the sense where he completely run you over just for fun and then punch your face in for even more fun. But he plays physical within the new way that the game is played, which is higher pace, higher skilled. So, and what I mean by that, he's going to finish his checks. He's going to hit you hard, but he's not going to go searching for it or take himself out of position. If the opportunity comes for him to lay the body or to muck it up in the crease, he's going to do that. And he's going to be happy playing that sort of game. But you know, he's not going to take himself out of the play just for the sake of running someone over. And you know, the way the game is now, you can't do that anymore, because you get burnt because the guys are too skilled. So I really do think he has a very effective physical element to his game. Definitely has an edge as well. Doesn't back down even from bigger players. He stands his ground. He stands up for himself after the whistle. There's nothing soft about him here. His motor really stands out as well. That's one thing, and I do think that's one thing that will breed further success at the NHL level, because you know, when you get to the point where everyone is really good, which in the NHL that's what it is now, the hardest workers separate themselves. They find a way, and he has that motor. It doesn't turn off. His feet are always moving, and they're always moving at a very, very high pace. He likes to, you know, run a lot of crossovers in the neutral zone, similar to how McDavid does crossovers or McKinnon through the neutral zone. I think, again, has that element, maybe not to the same extent, but he does use that tool to continue to gain speed and to play with at a very, very high pace. And that's hard to defend. It's really, really hard to defend, especially when the guy's hard too and physical and strong along the boards. And that's another thing. His board play in both ends is quite good. He's very, very strong. Down low, he's strong along the boards. He wins a good share of 50-50 battles. He makes his simple plays in those tight areas. You know, he's giving the puck to the next closest guy. He's not looking to do anything crazy, but he takes good care of the puck in those spots, which is what wins you games. Honestly, at the end of it, that is, those dirty area battles mean so much more, I think, than most people realize. And he is good in those areas. Absolute puck hound, relentless on the forecheck. He's always after it. He's always hard on it. I can't say enough good things. I'm going to take a minute to talk about his negatives.
Yeah.
And now that we've got that out of the way, I'm being a little tongue in cheek. The one knack, maybe he sometimes can hold onto the puck a little bit too long and make one more move than is needed to, or maybe that might be effective at the next level. Some say, you know, I've seen some people say that he's a little selfish with it. I don't think that's the right word, because I do think that everything he's doing is to try to drive wins for his team. And he knows he's the finisher there. So who should be taking the shots and who should have the puck on the stick? I don't think it's selfish, because he's not looking guys off when they're in obvious positions to receive a pass. He's not, you know, he's not doing things that, to me, come off as a selfish player. So, you know, if he's dipsy doodle, maybe once too long, I do think it's for the right purpose. It's to get closer to the net and to get closer to the goal and to a victory for his team. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at the junior level, especially when he's having so much success with it. So I did mention that, even though, you know, been bullish on Ginla all season. I think me and Grant both, since the first time we watched him, I thought him a lot higher than the rest of the internet. I can't speak for teams anyways. I don't know what teams think, but then the rest of the internet's had him for sure. And and I'm going to double down on him after seeing these first four playoff games. And I've moved him into my top seven at this point. I had him in my top 10, and I have him in my top seven right now. And, wow. And there's a spot at number five that I haven't really decided yet. And he's entered that conversation in my mind. I think he could be the best goal scorer that this draft class has to offer at the next level. Mm. All the tools that he has and his willingness to compete and his willingness to work hard, I think is going to serve him wonders to reach whatever his potential is, his absolute genetic potential. I do think he will reach 100% of that because of the way that he plays and what I can only assume is the way that he was raised. I don't know the Iginla family, but I can only assume that he was raised to get the most out of himself, especially from a hockey perspective. And I have no doubt that whatever his ceiling is, he's going to get there. I couldn't be a bigger fan of a winger in this draft. I think he's a first line player all day long. I think he's going to be a difference maker at the next level. I think he has an it factor to him. The kids, well, the kids now, they say, I'm him, right? I'm him.
He's him,
right? You know, or back in my area, he's the one who knocks, you know, you know, like Heisenberg. So I really, really like Teej Iginla. He's absolutely firmly inside my top 10. Like I said, I have him somewhere between five and seven right now. I don't know where, but he's entered the chat as a top five, as a potential top five pick for me, which is maybe the first time I've always said he's been top 10 in my mind. And this is maybe the first time I'm going to go one step further and say, I'd really consider him inside the top five. I've got nothing bad to say about him. He's awesome. I'm a big, big, big fan of his.
Wow. Grant, would you like to, I know you want to add on to that. I just know it.
I concur 100%.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I've moved him up, and I have considered as well. Like, don't be surprised if he's gone before the Canadiens pick now, you know. And I didn't necessarily think that before, but I did say, and it's always the case, the playoffs have a big bearing for me, mm-hmm. You know. You look like, he was behind Salayev and Dickinson. Salayev, going into today, had one secondary assist in seven playoff games. He went back to junior. He's been playing in the junior MHL playoffs. One secondary assist in seven games. I know he's not going to be an offensive defenseman, but you're picking in the top seven. You want to see some puck skill. Dickinson, one secondary assist in his first four playoff games. Again, this is after getting 72 in the regular season. You want to still see production at playoff time. I've questioned just how much offensive upside Dickinson has. And the start of the playoffs, playoffs are a good litmus test for that. They help you to project how a guy will perhaps do at the NHL level offensive-wise, because that's the closest that they've ever will have ever played up until that point. An NHL type scenario. So I think Iginla goes ahead of both those guys for me right now. Mm-hmm. And He might be ahead of Boehm as well. And that sneaks him up to six, seven. So, and if he keeps this up, who's to say that he won't end up top five? You have to be impressed by those highlights. Like, wow, eh? He had that was a hell of a game. I love the way he, you know, he does the quarter to nine there with his feet too. You know, he can
great edges,
like a figure skater. You know, he's got not only is he super quick and powerful, but lots of agility there as well. Just a top notch skater in this draft class, and I agree about the I commented to something. Craig Button was on with Tony the other day and said, you know, Montreal could use a goal scorer. And with that in mind, the best goal scorer for him was Yzerman. And I would argue that the best goal scorer, he's a better goal scorer. Iginla is a better goal scorer because I think he's got a more complete game. And I think he has the potential to score just as many, if not more goals. Was talking to a scout this week who was at back-to-back, went to see Kelowna twice, and loves him. And he said that he thinks he might be a 50-goal scorer in the NHL.
Wow.
Well, if he projects to possibly be a 50-goal scorer, that's pretty hard to argue that he's not a top-five pick, right?
Yeah. So, for me, like I was thinking about, okay, what role might he mimic? And I don't want to get too much into player comparables. I do like to, you know, every prospect is their own player sort of thing. But in terms of where he fits in on a depth chart, in terms of usage and maybe statistical production as well, Kyle Connor and Matt Boldy come to mind for me as guys that are going to be 35 to 45 goals year in, year out, the trigger man on the first power play, player on your first line, not soft at all whatsoever. So I know they have some differences, those three players, but, you know, look at their stat lines and how they're used. And that's kind of where I could see him being. And his 50 goals wouldn't be out of the question. 50 goals isn't out of the question for those two guys either in terms of a career best season sort of thing. So, I do want to emphasize, like, I do think Iginla does have there's something about him that has a star factor. There's a star quality, whether it's the way that he plays or his family bloodlines, you know, or personality, you know, he's got that intensity, that passion. And I think he's going to be an extremely, extremely, extremely valuable piece for whoever gets him. Give me that guy on my team. And I've said this before, there's guys you want to play with and guys you want to play against. I would have no fun playing against T.J. Iginla. No fun to play against. So, looks like he's lots of fun to play with. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, he seems to make something happen pretty much every shift, you know.
I did nothing sometimes, too.
Yeah. And you could see the burst that he has. He anticipates the play very well. He's smart. You add it all up and, you know, him and Yzerman probably the best shooters in the draft, like great shots. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, and like Rocco said, not just his wrist shot or his slap shot, all of them, you know, he's got the full arsenal there. Great release. So, he really has 35 to 40 goal. Like, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have some 35, 40 goal seasons, and maybe there's more upside there. So, don't know how that can't be a top 10 pick for sure. And maybe a top five.
And maybe Yzerman, maybe standing still, maybe Yzerman might have the best shot in the draft. But I do think that Iginla might get more out of it than mm-hmm. Yzerman does because of the rest of the tools that he has. And also the way that he chooses to play.
Mm-hmm. And he's not, let's not forget, he doesn't have dynamic line mates either. You know, he's doing that playing with another draft eligible that might be a third round pick, and then another guy that's not a draft at all. You know, I was talking to a couple of scouts and I said, you know, what if he was playing on London? You know, what if he was playing with Cowan and Barkey? Like, he'd scored 70, 80 goals. Oh. One scout said 80. He'd scored 80 in London this year, you know? Like, or, you know, Prince George playing with Height and Parasak or Funk or whatever. Like, he'd have wicked stats, you know? So here we go. Dog barking. Right on time. Now, this is just, I think, it really, really emphasizes just the depth of this draft, where a guy that we think might be a 40-goal scorer on some lists is not even going to be in the top. Why don't you talk for a minute there, Rocco?
That's fair. The depth of the draft, like Grant's saying, if there's a guy that has this potential, and I think we primarily can agree for the, I don't think there's a ton of debate that 35 plus is a realistic potential, even for people that don't have him ranked in the top 10. But it does speak to the depth of the draft that a guy with that sort of upside and the bloodlines and the hockey background that he grew up with to go with it would be considered outside of the top 10. I do think if you're a team, you know, it's never a good year to miss the playoffs, but if you're going to miss the playoffs, it's a pretty good year to miss the playoffs sort of thing. Anywhere you're picking inside of the top half of that first round, I think you have a chance to get a pretty impactful player this year, and maybe not a first liner, but at least a top four defenseman or a second line forward at the very least. So there is absolutely some depth here. There's a number of defensemen that, and it bumps the forwards down the ranks, right, a little bit. So, you know, even if the strength of the forward is maybe an average year, slightly above average year, they get bumped a little bit lower down because of how many D they are. So that creates some depth there. So you're able to get a better player later. You're either making the playoffs or you're getting a pretty exciting prospect this year. And it's going to be a very, very fun year because they are close, and we'll see how it shakes out. But for my money, if the whole there's a very short list of players who I would pass on Tejigan Lafour this year. Very short.
Yeah. Well, he'd look good in the Senators uniform, you know.
Well, I know how you feel about players in Ottawa with legacy names, so maybe.
Yeah.
No,
maybe finally that you know, guy that was, you know, should have been the first overall pick in 2018 would live up to, you know, would live up to that billing.
Well, that's it. And then the Tkachuks were two other names I was going to mention in addition to Connor and Boldy, where just, you know, you can become the focal point for an offensive system as a winger, which says a lot. And I know Kaprizov and that's fine. But he is the goal scorer there sort of thing. And, you know,
yeah,
I think Iginla has that sort of elite, absolutely, you know, there's a short list of wingers ever that would be considered truly elite, maybe franchise type players. You got the Rantanens and Rantanens and the Pastrnaks and Connors. Right. And I think Iginla is going to be the next name in that list.
Chester scared off Shane there for a couple of minutes with his heart, but I see that he's back.
I found my way back. I found my way back, but I'm happy to be back for the Iginla talk because I've loved him as well. You know, when I watched the CHL top prospect game, he was easily my standout. And Rocco, I like what you mentioned, right? You would hate playing against that guy. I just felt bad for the defenseman in that game. You know what I mean? Like having to deal with him, strong forecheck, good work ethic, right? He's a dog. He is a dog, and he's not the most physical guy. He's not going to run you over, like you said, but he will work you out, right? He will work you to death. He will work until he scores a goal. And that's the kind of guy you want on your team. He's just so fantastic. And right now, the CHL playoffs, all the playoffs, all the big tournaments, that's when games matter. That's when you see who's able to step their game to another level. to just take over and dominate. And he's doing that right now. So if that's not helping his draft stock, nothing will. Listen, if he goes top five, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't even be surprised. I just love the profile of this guy. Everything you guys said, I agree. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. And I was a big fan of his dad too. I grew up with him, but you know what? He's the apple did not fall far from the tree. And I saw this recently, the Iginla family. I mean, we're not done seeing them. All right. He's got a younger sister who is dominating women's hockey. All right. She's going to get to the PWHL in no time. She's going to dominate there. And he's got a younger brother too, who's putting up record numbers in whichever league he's playing now. His kid's like, what, 14 or something, but just dominating, right? So the Iginla family is very strong. Hockey runs deep there. So
unfortunately, Bobby Ryan will probably never watch the sister play. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
No, that's for it. Sure. Thankfully, Jerome blessed us with three more fantastic hockey players. So we thank you, Jerome, for your kind donation to the hockey community. We're forever thankful.
Nobody wants to bite on the Bobby Ryan. No,
absolutely not. I'm not touching that.
I like Bobby Ryan. I'm not gonna.
So do I. Yeah, but he probably should have stopped tweeting. But that's all. You know,
yeah,
that's Twitter, Grant, as you know.
Oh yeah, but you know when you realize that you've stirred up a hornet's nest, you go away. You go away for a day or two, you know. But it's an unfortunate because I've always liked Bobby Ryan a lot, and it's unfortunate when these things happen because they end up getting ostracized, right? And but hey, you're right. That's Twitter. That's social media.
I used to work at a restaurant back in the day, and I had the chance to serve Bobby Ryan a couple of times. And of all the athletes I've had to met in passing, either the service industry or otherwise, he's one of the absolute nicest guys. Kind of guy he'd sit with a fan and chat for way longer than was reasonable. He'd chat with a guy for 20 minutes just because he said he was a fan, sort of thing. So. Hopefully.
And considering his upbringing and the fact that like scouts did, I know a lot of scouts that have nothing but good things to say about him. You know, he was drafted by Anaheim, and I knew some scouts that were connected with Anaheim at the time, and they say the same thing. So it's unfortunate, because I've always been a Bobby Ryan fan and I've been supportive of his struggles that he's had. And I was being a little flippant there, but no, I think it's unfortunate, and I hope that people will cut him some slack.
Well, the nice thing about the internet, the bad thing is it'll blow up like that quick, but the nice thing is someone else will say the next thing tomorrow, and everyone will move on to being mad at them, and that's
yesterday's news.
That's it. No, it is. So, anywho,
we put that past us, and we are big fans of women's sports, WNBA, PWHL, fantastic leagues, fantastic athletes. We love women, okay? in all the ways. So, we're keeping on track with the CHL playoffs here because, Grant, you wanted to talk to us about Beckett Senecky. So, let's get into that.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Oh, I thought my prospect of the week was Brady Tkachuk. Oh, no, it's not. Beckett Senecky. Yeah, Beckett Senecky is a true riser for me. Rocco and I saw him in Ottawa probably a month and a half ago, and you can't help but put a lot of stock into a live viewing, and it wasn't great. But, you know, everything that I've heard from my brethren in the scouting industry is that basically in the second half, he's been excellent. You know, it was just an off night, basically. But you'll see, this is from his second to last game, I believe, of the playoffs. just how skilled he is with the puck. I don't know that there's a prospect in the draft other than Demidov that has better hands. And look at this sweet, sweet goal. He's got fantastic. He's going to be a great skater, I think. Just got to get stronger. He was listed at 5'10", 150 in his draft year at the OHL draft. And I think in the last year, he's grown 3 inches alone. So there's some filling out to do. And once he does, I think he's going to be a really powerful, good skater. And you can see in the playoffs, like his skating during this year has only improved. But he was a force in this game. Just he's got the long reach, and look at that pass, like the vision. I think he's arguably, you know, he's right up there with Celebrini as best playmaking forward, I think, in this draft class. Just his vision is maybe his main asset. He's got the triple combo, you know, size, hands, vision. Now, when you've got that combo, you've got really good NHL upside, because, you know, it's going to be hard to get the puck from him. He's got the on-ice awareness to spot his line mates. And we've seen his game since Calum Ritchie came back from injury, and the first half of the year, you look at his whole stats for the year, they're not great, but you have to look at, and it's always important, the second half of the year, if you see a big improvement, it's usually a good sign that the player is only going to keep improving. Now, Senecky has 10 goals, 27 points in his last 16 games, which is excellent, and that's including playoffs. Wow. Only 4 of those points were secondary assists. So 24 primary points in his last 16 games. And in the playoffs, he has 3 goals and 3 primary assists in 4 playoff games. So basically the second half of the year, he's been averaging a point and a half, 1.5 primary points a game, which is just excellent. Once he fills out, apparently he's got like a size 14 skate too. So he may not be done growing either, but you know, he's at least 6'2". He throws on another 20 pounds. He's going to be a very good skater. Love the way he protects the puck. He's got the reach. He's got the length. He's strong enough now to already protect the puck well. But once, because he's got such great hands, with another 25 pounds, it's going to be almost impossible to get the puck off of him. So for me, he's one of the 3 best playmakers in the draft class. 6'2". You know, you could be looking at a future 40, 50 assist guy that can also chip in 20 to 30 goals. So he's got, you know, point per game upside, first line upside. And given the room that he still has to improve, I would not be shocked if a team 6-10 seriously considers him. And that includes the Canadiens. If Aginla is gone, for instance, and Montreal is, you know, obviously their need is forward, right? That's their big need. And I've argued that Tkachuk or Yakimchuk would be a good pick, and you take it regardless. But yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if Senecky's on Montreal's radar if he keeps playing like he is in the playoffs now. You know, they go a round or two or all the way, and he keeps playing like he is. He's only going to keep rising, and teams are going to seriously consider him in the top 10 for sure. I've got him 10 now, so I've dropped a couple of guys. He's been the big riser for me. I mean, he was a 55-point guy last year, so going into the year, he was heavy consideration to be a top 10 guy, and he had the slow start offensively, but didn't have great line mates for the first half. Gets given good players. We see it. We see the points production. Well, in the NHL, he's going to be a top six forward. He's going to play with excellent players. And I think he'll be a he'll put up a lot of points in the NHL. So for me, he's the big riser. Been excited to see it. And it only adds, you know, an episode or two ago, we were talking about, well, here's our top 12. These guys have set themselves apart. It's playoff time. I knew this was coming. There's always guys that jump into that mix. It's a top 13 now. I like him more than Catton. Catton scoring in the playoffs. They got swept in four games. Yeah, it was a good team they played against, blah, blah, blah. They weren't expected to win. But, you know, you score 52 goals in the regular season and then don't get a goal in the playoffs. Again, it's an indication of what you can expect at the NHL level, that things are going to be a lot tougher for the 5'10 skilled forward, and that, you know, it's quite possible that he's a great junior that's going to produce great at the junior level, but don't be expecting it to be the same. It'll get tougher for him in the NHL. And for me, you know, the 6'2 winger that still has to fill out, that has more improvement to do physically, just has more NHL upside and potential than the 5'10 center that, yes, put up fantastic point totals, is one of the smartest players in the draft. But I'm telling you, Senecky's IQ, his vision, it's right in the same class as Catton, I think. So at this point, and I mean, I got some backing from a couple NHL scouts on it. At this point, I think you have to, NHL projection, and that's what we're all doing, right? 2 or 3 years down the road. I think Senecky has more NHL upside than Catton.
Yeah, and I would echo that, Grant. And I think there's a second video, Sammy. You can go ahead and play that now. There we go. And I'll add my thoughts. The thing, and I've seen all sides of Senecky's game this year,
These are his 2 points. Sorry, Rocco. These are the 2 points he got last night. Can you run that? Possible to run that back again? Check out the dangle that he does here, Rocco. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
but look at that. And then spots the D-man and now the second one is overtime. Okay. So last night they're down by two goals going into the third. He has that beautiful, beautiful goal. And then he follows it up in OT with just a spectacular goal here. We'll see. Oh, okay. Sorry. This is the replay again. But you get an idea of his hands there, eh, Rocco?
Oh, no. Absolutely.
And then here it is.
Wow.
Nice mitts, nice finish. The way he, this is a good angle of it here.
I've been trying to learn that move for 30 years.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, I'd moved him up to 11 before last night's game. And then, I watched it and I had a couple of scouting friends who were at the game too. And, I'm watching that live. I was like, oh, okay. I'm bumping them up to 10.
Yeah. And being, you know, us being in Ottawa, Oshawa is here so frequently, right? We've had a chance to see, and we've seen games where we're like, he's dropped our jaws for good and bad reasons sort of this year. You know, earlier in the year, he had that one game where he really, really looked unfriggin' believable. And then the game that we saw more recently, he was, you know, we were talking about bumping him downwards for a little bit there. Welcome back, Shane. But you see, and I said it last episode, when the going gets tough, the tough get going sort of thing, a guy stepping up in the playoffs and showing his best. I'm not seeing the same Beckett Senecky that I watched earlier in the year, and I mean that in the best possible way. I was calling him Bambi legs earlier in the year. He would get knocked over if a strong breeze went through the arena, sort of thing. And now he's powering through guys. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what you've been wanting to see. I'm like, okay, well, if that part comes, you know, what's the upside there for his skating, and especially being a big lanky kid, you know, being a guy that was short into my late teens and grew into my early 20s, I know what it's like to go short to being tall and skinny and then having to kind of readjust. And it comes a little bit later. And so, you know, that makes me feel he's very raw in his development. And that's really, really exciting from a scouting perspective, because, you know, he's already well over a point of game, you know, carrying the load offensively here for the team in the playoffs as a draft eligible, which is massive. And then you add in the fact that he's built like a giraffe, and it's like, okay, what's he going to be when he, like Grant said, when he adds 25 pounds, I'm like, he kind of, you know, there's guys that 5 years down the road, every hockey fan, hockey expert thinks are smarter than teams, because they look back and say, well, this guy is so obvious. How did all these teams pass on him? Right. You saw it with Robertson in Dallas, Wyatt Johnson, again, in Dallas. Dallas has done a great job of drafting later on in the first round. My goodness. But
Frankoven.
Those are two examples where guys go later on. How did we miss? And it's like, well, because they're raw, they're imperfect. They have some flaws, but they tease you and they tantalize you with the skill, which Senecky did all season. There was teases of it, right? Mm. And you never really necessarily seen him. And he would do it for a period or two at a time. And at least, and you know, I didn't watch every game of Oshawa in the second half, but at least from this one playoff game, he put it all together for that full game there. You know, all three periods, there was highlights from all three periods where he's doing stuff to really impress. And to do it as a tall, lanky kid who's just grown into his own body, and who the upside there, like that's the word for him. If you're the kind of team that has a pair and likes to take some, you know, some swings on some potential game changers versus a team that might veer towards middle six players in that first round sort of thing. Because different teams have different strategies. But if you're a team that likes the home run swing, there might be a very few better ones than Beckett Senecky. He has some of the highest upside offensively, at least of anyone. I mean, he could be a top five scorer from this draft class, no problem, I think.
Yeah. I looked at consolidated rankings on elite prospects, and I think he's like mid-20s right now in rankings. That's going to change. I mean, it better. You know, there's no doubt that he's top 15 now on NHL lists, and it wouldn't shock me if he ends up going in the top 10. And I'll reiterate it. I have said Lindstrom would be a good pick for the Habs, obviously. Yakimchuk, if they end up going with the best player available, and he is. Aginla, but I'll add Beckett Senecky to the list of guys that I think would be a great pick for the Canadians.
He would be too. They need a guy that's they need to add a little size, I think.
Yes. So. Yes.
They do.
Second liner with size, like him and Doc on your second line, or, you know, maybe Caulfield ends up being on your second line with Doc, and Senecky plays with Slavkovsky and Suzuki. You have the triple S line, you know, like,
it'd be a nice problem to have.
Yeah, no, it has crossed my mind since the playoffs started that, hey, this guy, and then again, after last night, we keep seeing that. I don't see why. I would not be shocked if the Canadians strongly consider Senecky with their pick. I think he'd be a great fit for the Canadians. So it's nice to have extra options, you know, because Aginla could be gone, Lindstrom could be gone. And if you really want a forward, I mean, I know a lot of people are, it's Katten or Yzerman, but give me Senecky at this point. I think he's got more upside in both of them. He's bigger. He's got more growth potential in his game. And I'm excited that, and Ottawa too. I think he'd be a great pick for Ottawa if they, seven or eight, and those guys are, that we just mentioned are gone, and they're looking forward. He'd be a nice option for even for the Senators, I think. So you start looking and saying, well, I could see that team taking him at seven or eight. Well, he's a top 10. Then he's a top 10 guy. So nice to have another one in the mix.
Yeah. And this year, and like putting guys between 11 and 15 this year is not an indictment on them. You do have, depending on who you ask, between 12 and 15 guys who are legitimate top 10 pick candidates in an average draft year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said before, it's never a good year to miss the playoffs, but if you're going to miss the playoffs, it's a good year to miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's probably 12 to 15 guys that, in the Slafkovský draft that would go top six, I think. So that tells you the quality depth that there is at the top of this draft class.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd like to address my connection issues. Mother Nature decided to bless us with a snowstorm in April. So connection here, internet connection has been, well, for lack of a better word, dog shit. So for the past almost 48 hours now. So we're trying to push through it. And
We didn't need you to moderate us this time. We happen to agree this episode on both guys. So, the referee stepping in and out, it was okay.
That's good. Well, I think these guys are pretty easy to agree on. Anybody who knows hockey knows that these are some special players here, and we're going to talk about a third one now. But Rocco,
you can go now, Rocco. Get out of here.
It's a Habs player, so I don't think you want to talk about him too much.
Grant probably likes him too much, anyways.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you had him 23 on your list or whatever.
They had an automatic demotion for sure, no doubt.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Rocco. We appreciate your time and your analysis. Take care. All right. So, again, we're keeping on track with the CHL playoffs topic here. Out of Saginaw, we got a certain Habs prospect by the name of Owen Beck, who has been just tremendous so far in the playoffs. Talk to us about him, Grant.
Yeah, no first round exit for the Memorial Cup hosts this time around, eh?
No, sir.
Saginaw. Oh, they swept their first round series. And Mr. Beck was a large part of that, which garnered a few highlights here, all his points and a few hits. And, there was his goal. He's got such a great wrist shot. He's going to score goals at any level with that shot of his. Saw it in his draft year. Keep seeing it. Got to love his two-way game. It's just excellent. He picked up 7 points, I believe, in the four games. Can't argue with that for playoff production. He had 18 shots on goal, won 59% of his faceoffs to lead all players. And according to Instat, his Corsi rating was an eye-popping 69%.
Hello.
For those of you that follow that kind of stuff, anything over 60 is, outstanding. 69, that's outrageous. So he was dominant at both ends of the ice, all three zones, really. He was on the first PK, first power play. He was a major reason why they swept the series. He just dominated play. Look out, London, and, Kitchener, whoever makes it into the next round, they're going to be in tough against Sapovalov and Beck 1-2, a 1-2 punch with Beck being one. That's a heck of a pair of centers to have to face, shift in, shift out. And you can see in this video too, very physical. Guys are trying to throw hits on him. Here's him hitting there's a couple of his own hits, but also guys trying to hit him. He just smoked them, they're the ones that end up going down. So he's already got NHL's strength, NHL speed, NHL faceoff. Like he can step in and be a 50 plus faceoff guy in the NHL soon as next year if he makes it. There's just so many. You know why Marty St. Louis loved him so much in training camp right off the bat, and he almost made the team. You got to think next year that, you see Colin White hasn't got a point with the Habs, so faceoffs, the whole works. If he's your fourth line center today, Owen Beck's better than him right now. He can step in. Obviously, next year, Doc and Dvorak will be back, presumably. So it might bump Jake Evans down to fourth line center role again. And perhaps they stick Beck down at the AHL level for a year. But I think it wouldn't surprise me if he cracked the Canadians out of training camp. And, they have him on the fourth line, versatility, where him or Evans can play on the wing. Let Beck take a lot of the main faceoffs. The versatility's there for him to play at the NHL level as soon as next year. So that was quite a look that Shane had there. But looks like the Mother Nature is just oh, there he is. that screenshot was priceless. But you were like this.
But, well, I was enthralled, Grant. I was enthralled.
Yeah, yeah. Man. At least your eyes weren't closed. There was one there. And one episode. It looked like you were sleeping. And I thought, gee, I know I was a little boring, but I don't think I was that bad. But I don't know if you want to weigh in on Beck's chances next year, but it wouldn't surprise me if he made the team next year. Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to have to wrap this up. Shane's just been having these internet problems all day, and there you are. So wrap it up quickly here.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, well, quickly, for Habs fans, seeing Owen Beck and a guy like Oliver Kapanen in the pipeline at center and maybe another one in this year's draft, it's just I remember the times when Habs fans were complaining, oh, my God, there's no centers. And they were right. There was no center. Philip Deneau was your number one center, right? No disrespect to him, but come on, right? So now you got Suzuki, Doc. You're going to have Owen Beck. You're going to have Kapanen. You might have some more, too. So it's a great time to be a Habs center. That just makes me smile. I'm so happy to see that. And we've had him on the show, right? He's a great guy. Just a very smart, good young man. So seeing him have success is also, really heartwarming. I'm happy for him. And I'm with you there, Grant. He could make the team as soon as next year. Like you said, if he was on the team right now, he'd be one of the best players on the team. Right. So it's crazy, but yeah, so he definitely could make it next year. But then again, you got Dvorak coming back. Evans has been really good this year. I got to give him his flowers, right? He's really stepped up. Oh my God. On the PK, he's just fantastic. Fantastic penalty killer. So he definitely has a spot on the team. And listen, if he has to start the season in Laval, then so be it. He's going to get good minutes. He's going to play with some good line mates. I think it'd be a fantastic situation either way. So it's nothing but encouraging with Owen Beck right now.
Yeah. And Kapanen, might be even more NHL ready than Beck, but don't know if he's coming over next year. It might be another year, but if he does, boy, both those guys are, there's a lot of NHL teams that they could crack next year, I think. And just absolutely. So happens that the Canadians have been a long time since we could say that, since probably Turgeon, Koivu, Muller days or whatever, that they had embarrassment of riches at center. But, you know, for the first time this millennium, we can say that. So
feels good. Feels good, Grant. It feels good. And that'll wrap up the show before I cut out again. I want to get my closing remarks out by thanking everybody for tuning in. As always, we appreciate the support and we want to hear from you. Who do you think is going to be the best goal scorer coming out of this draft? We have this Tiija Ginla, Cole Eiserman thing going on. So let us know what you think. We know what Grant thinks. We know what Rocco thinks. I'm on the train as well.
Celebrini might, you know, you can't. That's the other guy, obviously.
Exactly. So
32 goals as a freshman in NCAA.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, I think Craig was saying that with the thinking that the Canadians won't have a chance at Celebrini. But I think he's in the conversation too. Like he's going to be an outstanding goal scorer. But all three of those guys, you can argue.
You know? Can put in Demidov. Like there's a lot of options in this draft, but
in
terms of getting the puck in the net, I don't know that anybody does it better than Ginla right now. He is a threat at every level. Shooting in front of the net, you know, he will score. You know what I mean? So he's just a fantastic player. But let us know in the comments who you think will be the best goal scorer coming out of the 2024 draft. We want to hear from you. Grant, I'll leave you with the closing remarks.
Yeah. No, Demidov too. There's four guys, really. Are just could all be 40, 50 goal scorers. So it's, throw in the five or six defensemen that look like they top three pairing up, you know, top three upside. Really looking forward to this draft. Can't wait when is the draft lottery? Do you know?
I believe it's early May.
Okay.
I think it's May 5th, but I could be wrong. I know it's early May.
After the second round or at the completion of the second round or something like that, or first round. Well, really looking forward to that. That'll be, but it doesn't, you know, it's always great to get one of the top two picks, but it's one of those years where, if you're picking in the top seven or eight, if you don't win the draft lottery, don't fret too much.
Exactly. It's like Rocco said, right? You always want to make the playoffs, but this is a pretty good year to miss them in that sense. So I think teams will walk out of the sphere pretty happy. At least they should. all right, that'll do it for me and Grant. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.